T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one, little Monday Night Football last night saw the Rams take down the Bears 24-10. The Bears dropped to 5-2. The Rams improved to 5-2, and boy, do they need it considering how good that NFC West is. It seems like you just need to have 5 wins to keep pace with everybody
like
there.
Like in last place with 5 wins.
Yeah, Seattle's still in first. Seattle, I believe, plays the Rams next week, if I'm not mistaken. I know Miami, I believe... Miami plays the Niners. I don't know. I got them all. No, the Niners already got blown up by Miami.
Yep. Yeah,
but the point being, one of these teams loses next week. You fall from first to third just like that. That's how close it is in the NFC West, considering the Rams needed that win last night. As far as the Bears go, Nick Foles, 28-40, 261, and 2 interceptions. And a lot of questions around Matt Nagy and what's going on with the play calling over there. But I think what's really going on, they just don't have a quarterback, continuing to have that. To your point earlier, though, what do you do if you're the Bears? You're 5-2, so like record-wise, you've won 5 games, but
you were 3-0 with Trubisky.
You were 3-0 with Trubisky. Can you go back? Does Trubisky give you a better chance to win than Nick Foles?
They give you equally bad chance, which is why they shouldn't have switched from Trubisky in the first place. They're the same guy. You could have just kept rolling with Trubisky. At least you were undefeated with him, and you had no reason, technically, other than his poor play, to bench him at that point, which you now have from Foles, a guy who is 2-2, even though, obviously, the Rams are a more tough opponent than some of the teams the Bears beat early on.
The Bears' wins are against the Lions, the Giants, the Falcons, and then the Bucks are the surprise one. Like, huh?
Yeah. they beat the Bucks?
They beat the Bucks? Yeah. What's up for them? They got the Saints, then the Titans in back-to-back weeks. So
they're getting ready to be 5-4.
Yeah.
Real quick for the Bears. They're coming to Earth. Number two for what's trending, World Series Game 6 tonight sees the Rays trying to stay alive against the Los Angeles Dodgers tonight. Obviously, there was heroics from Brett Phillips in the Game 5. Then Game 6 saw Clayton Kershaw pitch well. It'll be Blake Snell versus Gosselin tonight for the Dodgers, who are attempting to, I don't know, try to win a World Series after spending $3.6 billion in payroll essentially during this entire run. They've been really dangerously close to winning a World Series years in a row. They seemingly almost had this one locked up in 6, or in 5, had they could have just not had the Rays come back on them again. But I don't know, I'm rooting for a Rays win so I can get a Game 7.
Yeah, that's
love
what it comes down to.
Love me some Game 7 World Series baseball. So
that's
please,
what
oh,
it comes
please,
down
oh,
to. So we have a chance to see a little Game 7. But
plus, there's no sports on Wednesday. So like, if they win tonight, then I have the World Series tonight and the World Series tomorrow before Thursday Night Football. Don't care who it is. Could be the worst matchup in the world. I'll still watch it.
Atlanta and Carolina. It is one of the worst matchups.
Not a great matchup.
it is one of the worst ones you can get.
Better than nothing.
Yeah, no doubt. No, look, I think unfortunately the Dodgers do get it wrapped up tonight. I hope I'm wrong on that because I want a Game 7, but I think the Dodgers do finally get over the hump there.
The Dodgers
and get
6,
the World Series. There you go.
Prediction would be correct if they won tonight.
There you go. Next up on what's trending, Graham Mertz, a local kid of the Kansas City area, now the quarterback for Wisconsin. Remember over the weekend he had an unbelievable performance. My goodness, 20 of 21. 248 yards, 5 touchdowns in number 14 Wisconsin's win against Illinois 45-7. Unfortunately, though, he has since tested positive for COVID-19. And with Big Ten policies, also his third string quarterback.
He's the second string guy.
Yeah, so second and third string, the starter's already out. The initial starter was out. Now, Graham Mertz was going to be the starter the rest of the way with that performance. Unfortunately, Big Ten policy, 21 days, he got to sit out. So Graham Mertz has this great performance showcase. Everybody was talking about him. Going to be out for 3 weeks, it sure seems like. That's unfortunate. And so Nebraska gets Wisconsin this week, and they might be taking on the fourth string quarterback for Wisconsin.
It's not great. probably not the guy you want to get down to, at least on that list. It stinks, too, because Graham Mertz looks so, so good in that first game. Next up on What's Trending, Antonio Brown signing official today with the Bucs. Obviously, we knew that was coming, but he has officially signed that paperwork, and the contract numbers are out. He gets $750,000 in prorated base salary, $250,000 in in-game active bonuses. He has incentives of $250,000 for more than 45 catches, 650 yards, and 6 touchdowns. They all include that the Bucs have to make the playoffs, which doesn't seem like it's going to be an issue. Although the NFC is pretty deep, so maybe not. He can also make $750,000 for a Super Bowl win if they were able to
That's reserved for some other guys, and I'm getting that.
Patrick Mahomes needs to cash in on
there's
that.
Some other bonuses. Yeah.
Sorry.
There's a couple AFC championship.
Decent payday
and,
for Antonio Brown, considering it's not like full league men. It's not exactly like how they're paying Le'Veon Bell. It's more than that. It's probably like league minimum times two with some decent bonus structure. They're doing everything they can to just like stay the pace and put everything in for the next 2 years where they got Tom Brady in town.
They are, but I still wonder with Bell, does he make it to the postseason? I
mean, just not with Bell, that, with Brown.
Antonio Brown. Like, does he make it to the postseason? That's the number one question with him. And going forward, as Serta pointed out earlier, Chris Godwin's now hurt with a broken finger, right? So how does that impact the role? Brown can't play till week 9, so they're still gonna have to go 1 week without Godwin or Brown. But yeah, I mean, we know the talent's there. It's just
Scotty Miller time for fantasy.
Is he available? Yeah, Scotty Miller, as we said yesterday, he's going to get paid because of Tom Brady. Scotty Miller is going to get a nice contract in this next offseason, whether it's with Tampa or not, because of the type of season he's having, and Tom Brady a big, big part of that. Next up on What's Trending, there's some rumors out there as we're 1 week away from the NFL trade deadline. Quinnen Williams, who was first-round pick of the Jets just a couple years ago, New York Daily News reporting that they are shopping the defensive lineman. Now, there is a conflicting report out there as well from other Jets beat writers who said that the Jets are not shopping Williams. But it's interesting because his name has come up. And certainly we know Brett Veach has, I won't say necessarily made a living, but had success off of finding guys
former
that have been
writers.
Top picks. And then all of a sudden the team that they draft and then feel like there was value there. If the Jets trade Quinnen Williams, we know they're a terribly run organization, but they're even worse than we thought if they trade Quinnen Williams. Quinnen Williams
like
hasn't lived up to the first round pick billing yet. But he's actually coming off his best game, perhaps, as a Jet. And you're going to trade a guy from just a year or so ago for a second-round pick or a third-round pick. That makes no sense whatsoever. Joe Douglas did not draft him, their current GM. That's why some people think it's an option for them. But they got a week left until the trade deadline.
One Quinnen Williams isn't going to solve their problem necessarily. They need, like, 50 talented players. Maybe you can get a different one with that price tag. Lastly, on What's Trending, Matt Norlander reporting that in light of that ESPN news that they were going to cancel that little preseason tournament they had planned down at Disney World. Kansas versus Gonzaga is now expected to take place on November 25th in Fort Myers. Auburn is also on that invite list. 4-team to be determined. Auburn and Gonzaga would then play each other, and then Kansas on November 27th would play whatever that fourth team would be. We might see some of these more big-name team tournaments occur now that thing fall apart. If I'm going to have to watch early season college basketball, it might as well be Kansas-Gonzaga. I'm for it.
Yeah, I hope we get a little bit of a non-conference because I still think there's a very, very strong chance that we end up with only a conference basketball season. But sure, of course, we want the big-time matchups, even if it is November or December. And typically you do get some of those big-time matchups, but they've all been maneuvered around because of COVID and everything like that. So we'll see if that's final. I mean, that's a huge get for Mark Few and Gonzaga if they can take on the Jayhawks early on to open up their season. And that's What's Trending.
Inside the Huddle, presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, here for good.
So, Steve Spagnuolo has been the defensive coordinator, as we know, after the last two seasons. And last year, we all know what happened post-Tennessee Titans game, regular season Tennessee Titans game, that is. And the defense really flipped a switch, a wide variety of reasons why that was the case. And they were one of the best defenses in football down the stretch. This year, they've been pretty solid, to say the least. The rushing defense is one area where you would critique more than others, but they have been able to navigate this season also with some injuries and suspensions in the secondary, and they have one of the best pass defenses in football right now. And Pro Football Focus, they sent out a tweet last night, and they were just talking about how different this defense is really compared to others in the National Football League. And not to get too nerdy with it, but essentially just the way they put personnel on the field is essentially different than everybody else in the National Football League. There's a little chart that they put out and talked about like defensive schemes, and they analyze them. And it has like the jumble majority of the leagues kind of in the middle of the pack. Like everybody's kind of doing the same type of thing scheme-wise. We're talking about type of personnel. You know, you're having three linebackers on the field, or you're having two linebackers on the field, you're having three safeties on the field. And the Chiefs are all the way to the far left of the chart, just to, if you can visualize
sadly,
that.
Sadly, the only team near them is the Jets.
Yeah. But the Chiefs are all alone at on the far left. And essentially, we were trying to figure out what's going on here. And a lot of it has to just do with how flexible Spags, I think, has been with this defense. And it goes back to last year a little bit, whether it was performances of guys like Tyrann Mathieu, guys specifically like Dan Sorensen, who a lot of people thought heading into last year's training camp, so back up with me here, last year's training camp was a guy that may not make the roster. We all know what he ended up doing last year and was so crucial in the playoffs, and he just had a pick six this year for Kansas City and has had a fantastic season so far for the Chiefs. That's like a complete polar opposite of what we were dealing with before in Kansas City. When I'm talking about it, like Spags' ability to put his guys in the best position possible. And even if that means sometimes putting personnel out there that nobody else is, how many other teams are going specifically with three safeties at times? How many other teams also have a defensive coordinator though? And the good ones do, the great ones do, but where Dan Sorensen, like as a player, he's not any different than he was 2 years ago. It's amazing when you have a coach, a defensive coordinator in particular, who will put you
successful
in the best position possible to succeed. And that's like, it sounds simple, but that's what's going on here with Dan Sorensen and Spags' ability to adjust himself and also be able to cater his defense to the personnel. That's what you should always be doing. That's something that obviously Bob Sutton wasn't able to do.
It was just a couple of years ago when Bob Sutton was here. Right after Eric Berry got hurt, they tried to use Daniel Sorensen like he was Eric Berry. And it was an abject disaster. Like, it did not work. Sorensen looked lost, was getting beat a lot in coverage. And look, sometimes Sorensen will let up a catch because he is an athletic person. But he's not the most athletic player on any particular field. He has to make up for it by just, he's got a good nose for the ball. And so what they've done is put multiple of their players in that position, which is incredibly unique. Just so you know, very few teams, to none, in the NFL are utilizing a three safety set because that's not common. Kansas City's defensive snap counts this year, the person who's on the field the most, Tyrann Mathieu at 97%. Nobody's going to be surprised by that development. Juan Thornhill at 89%. And coming in at number four, Daniel Sorensen. It's 74.53%. The only person who's getting more than the three safeties is Tano Pasniu, of all people, at the defensive end spot, coming in at third, which you probably would not have predicted if I had told you that going into that stat, but just know that that's the case. Also, you know, Frank Clark's missed a game, so that's going to hurt his numbers. Chris Jones has missed some time. That's going to hurt his numbers. Tano Pasniu essentially was available during that entire time. If you go back through, and it's not just them, if you just go back through the things they're doing there, their willingness to move around both defensive tackles and nose tackles, and specifically their willingness to essentially just have three safeties do whatever on the field, because we know he lets Tyrann Mathieu kind of adjust to in-game situations. Juan Thornhill is the cover-everything guy because he's probably their best athlete back there right now, especially when fully healthy. When he gets fully healthy, he's a tremendous athlete.
He's awfully close
to it. Who seems to just know where to range to back and forth. And then just let Sorensen pick his times to go for the ball. This seems like it is a unique situation. I think we're kind of used to seeing it because he's been operating the defense this entire way this year. And when he had Juan Thornhill healthy last year, he was using quite a bit of three safeties as well. The funny thing about it is, if you had asked me when they had brought in Steve Spagnuolo, if he was a top five defensive coordinator in the NFL, I'd have been like, no. At no stage has he ever been really considered that. At no stage, if I was putting together a list of the top defensive coordinators in the NFL, would he have been near the top of my list? But he is clearly doing those things. And a lot of it is just a willingness to use his personnel in a creative and different way, because he's disguising any of the actual talent deficiencies this defense might still have. He's masking 90% of them. Yeah, maybe they're still not as good in the run-stopping department as they want to be. But for the most part, he's helping mask those things. And it's why Kansas City is a Super Bowl favorite. They have a top two coach in the NFL, a top five defensive coordinator, a top five offensive coordinator, a top five special teams coordinator. And I know that they have not had the best year, But we got a lot of years worth of evidence to tell you Dave Tobe's the top five special teams coordinator. Very few teams can stack it up like that. Spags is just the surprising one on the list because Andy always churns out top five offensive coordinators. Andy's always a top coach. Tobe is always at the top of his field. And I wasn't sure Spags would propel himself to this point, but clearly his willingness to move guys around is part of the reason he's doing that.
Yeah, we know what happened last year, as I said. I mean, even before they made their turnaround, entering 2019, the Chiefs defense was 24th points allowed. They made the jump to 7th in scoring defense and points allowed last season. And as this year goes on, the one area that I think hopefully they will be able to improve on is just going to be their rushing defense. But it has been a remarkable job for 2 years, which is why I told you, I think, you know, the NFL, the trend we know with head coaching hires is all about offense. Like Vic Fangio was the big surprise from a couple off seasons ago. He was the only head coach hire that was a defensive mind. The rest were all offense. Remember, that was the same offseason that was Cliff Kingsbury and everything like that. Now, Vic Fangio, we'll see ultimately what his job security is going to be. There's a lot of NFL teams that won't go and hire a defensive mind, but I think if Spags continues on this track, he's going to at least get interviews. We know EB is going to get a head coaching job, but I think Spags has a chance to
take another year.
I think if this defense continues on the track it's heading, I think he gets at least some interviews.
If they continue, and this is why, if Spags can do this job, the best possible news means they can keep using draft picks on offense, which is actually what I want them to do. Next year, the first two picks, I think I want a wide receiver and an offensive lineman.
Yeah, definitely.
That with the first two picks, that's the way I would go. And then keep using these late round picks and make sure Spags can use a guy like Legarius Sneed in a position that makes him successful. Charvarius Ward is not. Brashad Breeland are not. They're not the most talented cornerback group in the entire league just yet, but they are very effective players. And their effectiveness is enhanced by Steve Spagnuolo. They're obviously talented players. That's not what I mean. But we never think of them as being like the top listed cornerbacks at any particular spot. And they seemingly never have any issues. They're one of the top-rated pass defenses in the entire NFL. And you wouldn't have said that based on the fact that they have spent nothing at cornerback, have a second-year safety coming off of that, Dan Sorensen, who I was talking about cutting 2 years ago. They have found places for all these guys. It's different than how I was expecting it to go. I didn't personally think he was a top-five defensive coordinator when they hired him. I appear wrong, at least at that point, because he's been more flexible than I thought for a guy who'd been in the league this long. You know, like he'd been a head coach. He had been a defensive coordinator, but they varied a lot, Gold. I don't know that I saw this kind of flexibility for Spagnuolo, but maybe that's something Andy Reid's rubbed off on him.
Perhaps, and I think you deserve plenty of credit if you're willing to adapt as your career goes on.
That's a pretty good sign you're a good coach.
You have to be willing to do that, or the game does pass you by, and it sure seems like he's been willing to adapt, and that's why the Chiefs defense has put themselves in the spot that they are at right now. Reminder to be listening this afternoon at 4 o'clock during the drive. So typically we'd be telling you, hey, be listening for the Alex Gordon sounder and all that. Well, yesterday was the last day to qualify for that. But if you qualified, you want to be listening at 4 o'clock to find out if you won that autographed Alex Gordon bat number 4. And of course, the $250 Royals team store gift card. So at 4 o'clock on the drive, Carrington, Sean and Rob will announce the winner of that. That was a lot of fun. Obviously, awesome looking bat for Gordo and company there. And plus a $250 gift card. Holiday shopping right around the corner. Definitely the Royals team store. A good place to take care of that as well. But as we continue inside the huddle here on Cody and Gold, Patrick Mahomes yesterday thinking of the drive. He joined them exclusively as he does each and every Monday at 2:15. And I think we've all noticed it. It's been very apparent. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, ever since the Le'Veon Bell news was announced, he's been running a little tougher. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Bills game ran angrier, I guess would be the best way to describe it. Certainly that play got the touchdown against Denver where he broke with 3 or 4 tackles. That kind of stuff we didn't see. Now, maybe it's just some improvement, but I also think it's like, hey, there's some extra motivation going on here. Not that they're in a negative way as far as tension between the two, but good competition that exists. And Patrick Mahomes was asked about Clyde's performance the last couple of weeks.
He has deceptive power. I mean, the way he's able to run, get low to the ground, and break tackles, I mean, you saw it the first week of the season. It's continued all season long. And to have a running game that we have, it's going to really keep helping out the passing game. And so many defenses not have an opportunity to stop us because they can't choose one or the other.
It's, you know, and that's they can't choose one or the other is pretty much the entire offensive philosophy of the Chiefs. So it can't be ignored there. I obviously think he's got a little extra juice. I thought he was breaking tackles before. I told you.
He's got the most yards
after
contact. If he
had just had the touchdowns in the first few weeks, we wouldn't even have had the conversation. The point Carrington made when he joined us on the forum earlier is the one seemingly missed sometimes in this conversation, which is Clyde Edwards-Helaire was getting a lot of carries, more than most teams give their running back carries in this. And he is a first-year college running back who didn't have to run it even the amount heavy workload college running backs do, because they had a million talented players at LSU. If you haven't been watching Justin Jefferson or Joe Burrow play this year, you would, you know, obviously notice that. But I mean, it's good for him. And if this spurs more competition, great. That's the whole sport is built on that. You have to participate that way. In football, your job is only safe for a year. You can lose it fairly quick. So, you know, and not obviously Clyde was never at risk of losing his job. But I am leaning more and more to the idea that Le'Veon might get more carries as the season goes on than maybe I originally had given it credit to.
Yeah, just because of the workload that he's received, and you want to, of course, keep him fresh for the playoffs. I think you'd see that also. Maybe if there was any question about where Bell was at just as a runner at this point in his career and all that, some of those were answered. Those questions were answered with the way he looked, even in limited workload, six carries. And now that you do head into a stretch of the season that seems like the schedule eases up just a bit, is this a game against the Jets where you're able to, you know, if you're up early, just go ahead and hand the ball off to Le'Veon Bell quite a bit and let Clyde have a breather. So hopefully you're in a spot in the fourth quarter where you're up, you know, by 21 points or so, and you're able to hand the ball off to somebody else. Still, even that's why, like, this game, despite the fact that Bell has taken over kind of the workload that Daryl Williams was getting, I still think this is a game where you might actually see a little Daryl Williams late, just because if they're going to give Clyde some rest, assuming the Chiefs are in the position we think they're going to be, which is a significant lead into the fourth quarter, and that they don't want to risk any injuries or anything like that.
It's DeAndre Washington, sure. Nick Kaiser, Byron Pringle. I hope it's all the players who don't get on the field as much, who could use a little seasoning. I hope it's all their time at the end of this Jets game.
31-6 heading in the fourth quarter. So that works for me.
That sounds great.
Let's just
sit Mahomes the rest of the
31-6 entering the fourth.
Mahomes can just have like 275 yards and two touchdowns then and just move on about your life.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
The one thing he's avoided versus almost every other quarterback so far has not avoided is every other quarterback that are at the top of them have not avoided the bad interception game yet. Mahomes did throw a bad one against the Raiders kind of late
Save this tape. Let's mark this tape. Oof,
but, well, because I'm saying he hasn't thrown a bad pick?
Just remember
this
moment.
Seems like a nice compliment.
It is. Just remember this moment. 12:22 on Tuesday.
So what? If he throws like three picks sometime in the next few weeks, we got to talk about it?
No, this week.
Russ threw two bad ones.
Terrible this week.
Rodgers threw several bad ones against the Bucks. Like, it's just, it happens, of course, in the NFL, but Patrick Mahomes so far has avoided that, which makes it even easier for them to win games, by the way. All of this talk with Spags and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like the idea that they never turn the ball over on top of it, just makes your life that much harder, because if you turn it over once, you feel like death.
Well, that was the development of Mahomes, and not that he ever threw a ton of interceptions, but the sequence that was discussed, we discussed it on the show yesterday, which is Matthew and Mahomes, and how Pat even said, like, a younger me, which we joked about because he's only 25, and said he would force throws and all that. That's the difference. Like that's the difference overall that you've seen a little bit. And so, yeah, I'm not overly concerned.
Well, there was 12, and he threw 50 touchdowns that year, so probably fine.
He's on pace for two picks this year.
Yeah. Technically, it's like 2.2, so it depends on how you round.
Two picks.
If he throws none this week, it'll be two picks exactly.
There you go.
Based on that. He's also on pace for 37 touchdowns, which would be his second highest total, so probably fine.
Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, we'll get to the random question of the day, but first, let's bring him to KC. How about the NBA and the Raptors?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Back here on Cody and Gold, coming up in 30 minutes, we'll check in with Danny Welniak for the first time in a couple weeks. Breland Moore's been filling in. Danny Welniak. It's her child now. 3 weeks, right? 3 weeks old or so. We'll talk to her about the last couple of weeks and, of course, talk to her about the Chiefs. 30 minutes from now, Danny Welniak, sports director over at KCTV5, will join us for her weekly visit. We're also about 10 minutes away from another random question of the day. But there's momentum now because number 15's behind it. This was something that got some attention in Louisville the last week or so, because there was a report from Yahoo Sports that the city of Louisville was potentially the favorite to land the Toronto Raptors for this upcoming NBA season. That is because Toronto, obviously located in Canada, and Canada has a current ban on travel from the U.S., and so that would obviously create some problems for the NBA schedule to have teams trying to go to Canada. They just couldn't host games at Scotiabank Arena there for the 2020-2021 season, and so they're looking for a home in the United States, and Louisville, for whatever reason, has been the name that has come up the most, the city that has come up the most. And
screw Louisville!
Why
a dumb city full of dumb stuff.
Why is Louisville getting mentioned even more? So the mayor here in Kansas City, Quinn Lucas, and now Patrick Mahomes, they both have been tweeting about this. It sounds like there's been at least some preliminary sort of discussions. Raptors to KC, at least for a season? Absolutely, we're all on board with this, right? There's no reason you should not be for this. There's some challenges. Apparently, Fesco was talking about this morning. He's hearing that the Eastern time zone versus Central time zone is a big problem. If that's our biggest hurdle, this can be fixed, can it not? Apparently, the Raptors and specifically the NBA want to keep the Eastern time zone for scheduling, I assume, right? And travel. It's 1 hour. Louisville's in Eastern time. Kansas City, obviously, is in Central time. We spring forward already for an hour to begin with. To me, this is an easy solution. If it really is that big of a deal and they can't shift the schedule around and play an hour earlier or an hour later, can't we, for 6 months here in Kansas City, figure out a way? Let's just move the clocks forward 2 hours. All of a sudden, it's 1:30 right now instead. No big deal. Not a problem at all.
Fine.
A couple days in, we'll all adjust. Our sleep schedules will adjust, and we'll get to enjoy NBA in Kansas City. I know there's not going to be any fans, even if the NBA came to Kansas City this year with the Raptors. So who cares? It still would be a showcase for the city to show the interest that the city has in terms of buzz, in terms of, heck, we'd be talking about it, I would imagine, quite a bit. And certainly the amount of money it could bring in for hotels and for T-Mobile Center.
Who currently has nobody doing anything there because there aren't concerts and things like that. Let me help you out here, Toronto. I know Raptors fans are obviously a little sad about the idea. The games wouldn't be played in Toronto, but you understand the circumstance. Look, it's mostly our fault, okay? Like on this side of the border, we're causing more problems, COVID number-wise, than on the other. I get it. It's more spaced out in Canada. Maybe it's easier, whatever. Doesn't matter. The point is that we're here to like make you feel comfortable. Like, even though the games can't be played there, they're going to be played somewhere. And don't go to that dump of a town, Louisville. And instead, come here to lovely Kansas City, which offers an NBA caliber arena that wasn't, you know, built on the backs of good basketball teams that were run by an awful human being. None of that. So forget the dumb Yum Center or Papa John. Tons of people. All kinds of people you don't like. Down there screwing things up at the Yum Center. You don't want that. Sprint Center, T-Mobile Center now. It's nice and clean. There's no problems here. Other than the fact that we were once rejected by the Pittsburgh Penguins. We built it under this facade that we weren't going to get a team. And yet we're still welcoming to you. We're welcoming to you, Toronto Raptors. Mm. We will cheer for what?
What is? I heard that. That did not sound good. Well, why aren't you
I
on
mean,
board with
it's
this?
Fine. No, I mean, I'm on board with it. I'm just saying I don't know that the facilities are up to the standards
really?
Of
you don't
the
think
Toronto
it's an NBA
Raptors.
Caliber facility?
No, it's an NBA caliber facility, I guess, but the locker rooms are a little lacking.
We'll juice them up. We'll put.
I mean, they're gonna have to. They're gonna have to invest in there because NBA locker rooms are very
nice. It's not,
Maple
Leafs
Sprint Center locker rooms.
Hold on,
I've been T-Mobile Center, whatever it's called now.
I actually have been to the Yum Center, the KFC Yum Center in Louisville. It is a nice arena, but let's not act like it's a year old and it's like this sparkling brand new place that the T-Mobile Center doesn't have here in Kansas City. The Yum Center opened in 2010. Sprint Center was like 07, right? We're talking 3 years difference. They've already put the new video board at Sprint T-Mobile Center now within the last 5 years or so. That should not be the issue. The facility should not be the problem.
The simple reality
here
is we're a better center than Louisville, and we should try to steal their thing.
I'm just saying I've been in that locker room for, you know, post-game Big 12 SMI. Tournament games. Uh-huh. Yep. The locker rooms aren't anything special.
When were you in an NBA locker room?
I see a lot of videos. They look much nicer than what they're working with there.
I think that's an easy fix. I'm willing to spend that money and to bring them the comforts of Canada. I told you, inside the T-Mobile Center, we could put a Tim Hortons.
The locker room is very important. Like, if we're talking about a whole season, the locker room is very important.
Drake can have his own office there. It's fine. Whatever you need in this scenario to make everyone comfortable. Yes, he does. Don't listen. We're not here to knock small parts of this. We're here to bring in all of the Toronto Raptors for who they are.
Yeah, I told you there's an easy fix. Tim Hortons is owned by, and Burger King are owned by the same company. So you can simply just swap some of the Burger Kings in town and make them Tim Hortons. And this is an easy fix. You can make them feel like home. I'm on board with this as well. I the time zone thing is so bizarre to me. Like, if we're talking realistically about the chances, it does seem like it is somewhat of a long shot to happen, but is it really? Is that the excuse that is going to be used?
The time zone? That seems like a weird thing.
If that's so big for NBA scheduling, make the game time an hour earlier. Or, as we said, I'm dead serious. Why wouldn't we find a way to explore just the city? Can you? Does it have to be a state by state thing? Can it not just be a city? Doesn't Arizona, where
I mean, Buffalo seems like the obvious choice, but apparently their arena is not very nice.
Yeah, because Buffalo's close. I mean, look, the Toronto Blue Jays played games up in Buffalo at the AAA park up there. So yeah, I mean, Buffalo proximity wise makes
you don't want to go to Buffalo.
Makes sense.
What do they have that we don't? What's Buffalo have? Wings? We got the peanut. You're fine.
No, I mean, that shouldn't even be in consideration.
Buffalo?
Yeah.
Come on.
Nobody wants to do that.
Nobody wants that answer.
It doesn't even matter what the team is. For those who are like, oh, I don't like the Raptors. Who cares? That's not the point.
No, you do like the Raptors. You're confused.
The point is,
they're your squad.
This is different than like Oklahoma City Thunder, who the Oklahoma City took in Charlotte during Katrina and everything like that. And what is now, you know, New Orleans Pelicans now. But you recall the backstory there. They were able to showcase their fans and they were selling out arenas. That opportunity wouldn't exist here, unfortunately, because of the reason why that they're even having to look elsewhere. There's not going to be any fans allowed and things like that. But it still would give you an opportunity, I think, Cody, to show down the road, if there was ever expansion in the NBA, that Kansas City has some buzz, the TV ratings from the Kansas City market. We know how Kansas City does TV ratings wise when our teams are playing. Even if the Raptors wouldn't be our team on a regular basis, that for that 6 month span or whatever, they would be our team. Las Vegas and Seattle, probably higher on the list. So we're going to talk to Jared Sutton. He was a regional scout for the Pelicans, lives here in the Kansas City area, obviously played for the Missouri Tigers as well.
He's been a big proponent of NBA to KC in general.
Yeah, he's been all over this, and he's been pushing for the NBA to KC for quite some time. And we'll get his perspective on it. Because I think Seattle and Vegas, if we're talking down the road when there actually is an expansion opportunity, are absolutely higher on the list than Kansas City. As much as I hate to say that, I think Seattle for obvious reasons, and then Vegas now the stigma of, oh my gosh, professional sports being in Las Vegas, we can't have this because of gambling. Like, oh, that's finally gone away. Now that there's hockey took the first bullet to go there, right? And it's worked out fine. And now, of course, Las Vegas Raiders, everybody's there. Baseball one day will be there as well. And so they're probably ahead of the curve in that end. But for this, for a 6 month audition or so, this is perfect. As you said, you're considering Louisville, Kentucky. Kansas City should absolutely be in the mix here.
Bourbon and nothing else. Nothing else in that town.
Text line.
Kentucky.
913-576-7610. We won't get the NBA here until we get real strip clubs. One of the requirements. Well, if James
Harden... Is this a Lou Williams?
If James Harden is coming, if the Rockets are in town, there might be a little issue with the strip clubs for him. He might not be pleased.
As a person who's not frequent strip clubs, I'm not James familiar Harden, with James our quality versus others.
James Harden would be the exact polar opposite of you.
Oh, he is a frequenter of
strip clubs. Yes, he's the exact polar opposite.
Again, easy fix.
Houston strip clubs thrive off of James Harden.
I am open to whatever the Toronto strip club situation is, having them just being housed down here during that time. If they don't feel that the quality of our strippers isn't up to their standards. Do what we got to do here.
Whatever works.
It's whatever works.
Also, someone says, Cody, if you want to entice them, start rapping. Mm. You and Drake.
Ooh,
you and Drake.
New...
You and Drake can get together on that.
Mm. Mm. Hey, sir, can you get a hold of Drake for me? We got to do a rap together.
Oh boy. Why don't you write rap and tweet it at him?
Smart.
Tweet at Drake.
Like, put the video
tag
together.
The Raptors and tag Drake in at the same time. The fact that Mahomes is on board with this increases the likelihood of it happening.
And get Mahomes to get a verse done. Will the drive waste one of their questions every Monday when he's exclusive there at 2:15?
Next Monday.
I just need him to get one line out. Just one verse from Patrick Mahomes and then we'll be all square. Maybe I can get it from whatever the player we're going to talk to on Thursday is. We don't know.
Whatever is needed to make this happen.
I'm here to make it happen.
Nobody thought Whataburger would come to Kansas City, and it's coming. So don't say it's not possible.
I'm already thinking about dinosaur raps now, people. Don't worry about it.
We'll talk to Jared Sutton about this.
There's at least a Jurassic Park reference coming in there.
No question. The Raptors are already my nephew's favorite team anyway. He thinks they're just the dinosaurs because he likes the Raptors. So there's plenty of reasons to make this thing happen.
Yes, exactly. And not you know, plenty of reasons. Well, I think we can.
Let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Serta, and for the text line over 913-576-7610. Coming across this, obviously, as you are both, you have moved, Gold. Serta, you are close to moving, and I have most recently. Remind you of the things of buying things in adulthood that you maybe didn't buy when you were a kid and didn't realize how expensive they were. So the question is, what adult purchase surprised you that it was that expensive? The most recent example of this for me, just so why I was thinking about it, was I bought a dimmer switch for a light fixture in a dining room. So like, it was too bright.
Okay.
And the bulbs were dimmable. So the obvious solution to this was to buy a switch that allowed to be dimmed. It was, for that one switch, $27. $27!
Seems very pricey.
Which actually seemed insane, because like a regular light switch you can buy for like $4. I don't know how much more complicated the electronics inside the dimmer switch are, but apparently significantly, it was $27 for one dimmable light. I almost didn't buy it.
Now that thing's going to last you forever, though, Cody.
I was used to how bright this light is.
That thing's going to last. It's a one-time.
$27 isn't that much.
It's a one.
That's a lot for one light switch?
If you were going to have to buy a bunch of them, you're buying one, and it's going to last you for the life of the house, probably.
I paid for it.
It's a luxury item. You don't need a dimmer. You want a dimmer, so it costs $27.
I paid it. It's up. I changed out the switch.
Why don't
it's
you
done.
Just buy a lamp I that thought, you can dim for $27.
There's not a good spot in the room for a lamp.
Is it like a chandelier or just like a light fixture?
It's more like it's not a chandelier, but it's more like
fixture.
That than like a fan. It's a light fixture. It's a Sputnik style light fixture. It's got like a lot of bulbs, so it's too bright.
Okay. Yeah, that's
put in the new light fixture. It was too bright, so I had to buy the dimmer, which was $27. It just surprised me.
There's a couple.
It was like the first time you had to buy sheets, and you're like, how much are these sheets? This feels like a lot for sheets.
You should never spend less than $60 on sheets.
I know. That's what's crazy. He's right.
Excuse me?
Dude, there is a serious difference in quality of sheets.
Yeah.
No question there's
Have you never had nice sheets before?
I have.
You spend $20 on sheets, it's like sandpaper.
So no, you don't spend $20. I'm in that like $40 to $50 range on sheets. There's no way I'm spending over $50 on sheets. Not going to happen.
You should never spend less than $60.
I've spent like $80 on sheets.
What a thread count that you need. There's a high thread count requirement for Serta.
It's incredible.
it
matters.
Serta's got probably like these silk sheets or something at his place. Something like that. I don't know, man.
I actually just bought some new sheets. I bought them on Prime Day. They were on special. So that's why I bought them.
Like when I moved to a new place, I bought like new bedding and stuff, but the sheets were not $60.
Were any of them like surprising you the first time you bought it?
Yeah.
You're like, I can't believe this cost that amount of money.
There's a couple things. One, just because I have a dog, so I need a decent vacuum that can get the pet hair and stuff, and it won't ruin the vacuum won't crap out in a month and a half or something like that. So vacuums are expensive, man. The ones that
hundreds
are needed.
Hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. So I dropped a couple $100 on a vacuum last week. That's ridiculous. So that's one. The other is, and I agree with the texter, it's true. Like you get the new apartment, so you're thinking I have new shower curtains and stuff. Those are more pricier than you would think. It's a damn shower curtain that with the liner as well. The shower curtains. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but the liner's cheap.
Liner's like $3.
No.
What are you spending on a shower curtain liner?
Yeah, that was not how much it cost me. $3.
The liner. You go to Walmart. Yeah, you just buy the cheapest one they have.
The whole shower curtain set thing with the hooks and everything. By the time I bought the hooks and everything, we were north of $40.
Oh, I buy the cheap ones.
So here you are.
I buy the plastic ones.
So you're $60. I get $60 on sheets, but $5 on the shower curtain.
Yeah, I'm not bathing in the curtain.
Yeah, but the whole thing, it's still important. It's still the visual of the bathroom if you have a cheap shower curtain and stuff. So yeah,
$40. The curtain's fine.
But the liner, no one
can buy the cheapest possible one, and it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I have the curtain, and then I have the liner, but it was still north of $40.
And those hooks, they fall off. You got to get the plastic rings.
No, I'm going with them.
You are going plastic rings?
You can't go plastic.
No, I have hooks.
I have hooks
like an adult.
Yeah,
no, the hooks fall off.
So like mine are like stainless steel, supposedly rust-free. We'll find out about that here in the next month.
I have a good one.
Okay.
Candles.
They are expensive.
Candles are so expensive.
But how many candles are you? How often are you lighting your candles?
I like candles. I don't have like a weird amount of them. I've probably got like 4 candles, but for like a medium sized candle, it's like $15.
Candles aren't cheap, man. And ladies like candles, Gold, so you should have some around the house. Make the place smell nice.
See, I don't want candles right now because the apartment still has new apartment smell. Like it still smells brand new, and I like that. Once that wears off, then we can go to the candles. Like now you walk in, it still smells brand new. There's a difference.
Yeah. Somebody pointing out the car batteries. When do they go from like $70 to $200?
for a while, I believe.
Is that a real thing?
Dude, car batteries are
unless you buy some cheap anymore.
My father-in-law just replaced a car battery he replaced like 5 years ago, and it was like double the price for the same battery.
Really?
Apparently car batteries are expensive. I don't know. There was a job.
I mean, but I always get like the five-year warranty one.
I get the one that's supposed to last the maximum amount of time because it's just not something I want to deal with.
Someone else says the refrigerator water filters. Just I'm assuming, are you talking about like not the Brita filters, but you got to buy the filters for the ice maker and stuff.
Yeah, they're not cheap. They're not cheap. There are some adult purchases you're like, this is how much this thing costs. Couches could be on the list too, by the way. Like if you
figure a couch is expensive though. I guess that is. Really? I figure couches are. It's a couch. It's going to be expensive.
Paint. Just so you know, if there's a few things in life that you should buy. The more expensive version of, because it is a better quality. Sheets is definitely one of them. Paint is the other. Don't go out there and buy a $20 gallon of paint. You are going to be putting 9 coats on it, and it's not going to look good. Just buy the $40 can of paint. It is brutal to have to spend that on one single can of paint, but it is absolutely worth it. You guys live in apartments, so maybe you don't do a lot of painting.
Yeah, but no painting at my last apartment, I fell down the stairs when I was drunk and put a big hole in the wall. Like that was the size of my body. So I had to patch the wall myself and then go get the paint matched. But I bought the cheapest possible one.
Well, that's a rental place. I'm telling you, man.
And just patched the hole and painted it myself.
I can relate to this one texter for sure. He said, why have we let the picture frame companies run up the prices? It costs twice as much to hang my Super Bowl memorabilia than actually buying the goods. This is true. See? You want to get anything framed? Oh, my. It is outrageous. I've got some sports memorabilia stuff I want to get framed as well. Cody, it is crazy.
It's expensive.
Framing jerseys and stuff are outrageous.
You gotta check Hobby Lobby when they have like one of these weekend sales and you get like buy one, get one frame, and that's when you do it. I've done this before.
Now, are you talking about just the frame or getting them professionally framed?
You can have them, you can take it there and have it
so expensive. Buddy. I'm talking like a frame. If you just want to, if you got a signed Mahomes jersey or a frame, you name
$500.
The framing is just $500 if you don't get it on sale. It's nuts.
Well, you spent all that money on the Mahomes jersey. They figured you'd spend $500 on
basic car tires. I feel like car tires have always been expensive.
Yeah, that one's tough. I do feel like they've always been a little bit steep, but they are expensive.
Someone on the text line. The truth comes out. Now we know why Gold has never had a relationship longer than 4 months. The sheets. Some of those cheap sheets. That's not the problem.
Is it not girly to have candles in your apartment is what someone asks. No, I want my apartment to smell good. Maybe I'm just more secure than you are.
I don't mind candles. If I lived on my own tomorrow, I'd have candles. Seriously, I don't really care.
Some good suggestions and issues I guess we all have.
What was that? That's what I had for you. Line. I bought that $27 dimmer, and it had me thinking.
In the grand scheme of things, with these other ones that people are bringing up, that's nothing. It's a one-time expense.
I understand. As long as I wired it right, it's a one-time expense.
There you go.
Feels like you would have hired an electrician to have set that outlet for you.
Well, is it just the faceplate, or do they have to put the whole...
Like, no, the actual outlet in.
Oh, yeah, I'm not doing that on my own.
Yeah, not just the faceplate.
Come on, you know me better than this. There's no way I'm doing that. You want me to get electrocuted?
You turn the power
off. Turn the breaker off? I'm still not doing it. Still don't trust myself.
You'll be fine.
Don't trust myself whatsoever. Coming up in 10 minutes, Danny Welniak of KCTV5 going to join us, our weekly conversation with her. Plus, coming up at 1:30 today, we'll talk with Jared Sutton of the New Orleans Pelicans, regional scout there, more about NBA to KC, specifically the Raptors, perhaps for this upcoming NBA season as well. We were watching Monday Night Football. I'm sure a lot of you were as well last night, and you saw the Bears go down to the Rams, and now the Bears fall to 5-2. The Rams improved to 5-2. And Nick Foles, which is absolutely dreadful. That Bears offense is just, I don't know how you do it, Chicago
watch,
Bears fans.
Man.
It is tough to watch. And Matt Nagy, of course, the head coach and play caller there for Chicago. And I had a lot of people last night talking about Doug Peterson, another Andy Reid, off the Andy Reid tree there, and wondering what has happened for both of them in the last year or so. Because initial first year for both were absolutely incredible. I think each one's a different scenario. Like Philadelphia... The issues, Doug Peterson, while the goal line calls have been really odd and not as creative as we had seen in the past, they have had so many injuries. They're dealing with 4 or 5 practice squad wide receivers that have caught touchdown
passes this year.
They're
scratching, surviving.
Miles Sanders is hurt. You go on and on and on. Chicago, it is, to me, fairly simple. It's just you don't have the quarterback. Mitchell Trubisky, Nick Foles, they both suck. They're both below average quarterbacks. And if there's any team that is talent-wise on the other end that is slightly better than you, they have no chance to win those football games, no matter how good their defense is. They need defensive touchdowns, which they still got last night, and they lost. Their defense scored more than the offense yesterday.
They're not even that good at running the ball. The thing, you know, and I do wonder about Nagy. He actually had media availability today and had said that, you know, the first thing they look at when they're having troubles like this is the play calling end of things. Because this is what's going to come up, Gold. What happens here is when Nagy struggles, people are going to say, is that going to be Bieniemy's problem? And Doug Peterson does have that Super Bowl, which obviously helps him. Right. It helps keep him safe for a longer period of time, all the things that come with that. But because his team hasn't been particularly good the last few years, people have questions about that, and people will inevitably assign those to, if you're outside of Andy Reid's comfortability on offense, we could do this. But the truth is, it is really, like, I'm not down on Nagy yet because I can very simply look at his quarterback play and be like, what is he supposed to do? Like, he didn't choose Trubisky. He was kicking it, rolling back at training camp, speeding down the road to watch Patrick Mahomes' highlight tapes as the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs when they took Trubisky. And then Foles got dropped in his lap because they felt like they didn't have anything in Trubisky. Now, look, he could have had some say in there. He could have stood up stronger for Trubisky, but he probably even knows that his quarterback situation is a bit of a mess. And Trubisky only had 560 yards passing in his first three games as a starter for the Bears this year. So less than 200 yards per game. He had six picks, which is bad. Or he had three picks, sorry, which is bad in three games. Now, Nick Foles has six, and now they're stuck in some weird misnomer. I hope this doesn't reflect badly on Eric Bieniemy, because it is a fair question to say, yeah, if Nagy is struggling with this part of the offense, will Bieniemy struggle under a similar circumstance? Which is why any head coach should be looking for the best possible quarterback situation for themselves before taking the job.
Because that was a question that was popping up during the game. It's like, you know, when things get figured out and when people figure you out, how do you adjust to it? And people are wondering, we haven't seen the adjustment as much for Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy. I still think, and I disagree with this one texter that says, you know, that both coaches have trash quarterbacks. I don't think Carson Wentz is trash. Sorry.
I don't either. Actually, Carson Wentz does a decent job covering up some of the trash of their roster.
Carson Wentz,
he just
this season, with what he has dealt with,
he has thrown 10 picks this year, which is a disaster.
Absolutely. But let's point out who he's thrown the ball to. Eight touchdown passes since week three. All eight have gone to practice squad players, former practice squad players. Greg Ward, Travis Fulgham, who nobody knew who he was, now looks like he might be a legit wide receiver, though, suddenly. But who gets credit for that? Is it just unknown talent, or is Carson Wentz also a big part of that?
Yeah.
Jason Kroom, I have no idea who that is. And then Boston Scott, you've probably heard the name, but still, he's a former practice squad player. That's who he's thrown touchdown passes to.
He's also thrown a league-high 10 interceptions. And I understand, like, I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback, like a top 11 or 12 quarterback. But the problem is he has nothing around him. And while the injuries are not Doug Peterson's fault, at some point it's like, okay, you got to coach somebody up to be decent in this scenario. Because mm-hmm. I'll point out, the Chiefs are not as injured as the Eagles, but they're not a healthy team either. We've talked about all the offensive line issues they've had. They've been missing a wide receiver for multiple weeks. They've missed defensive players, and missed defensive players in the draft there too last year. So, I don't know. It's a weird situation now for Nagy. I do think he has a job for a few years, though.
Yeah, fortunately for the Eagles, that division is complete crap. Bad. And so the Eagles coming off that win against the Giants, and now they get the Cowboys, who might have their third-string quarterback, and then they get the Giants again. So there's a chance for the Eagles to actually win like three or four in a row here and be in, dare I say, firm grasp of first place in the NFC East. Coming up next, we head in the 1 o'clock hour. Danny Welniak of KCTV5. It's been a couple weeks. We'll find out how the new baby's doing and if she used any of Cody's advice.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.